So it improves the thinking and intelligence of these kids, and it calms the hypomania. And so it is a real important part of everything. A question that you had is how much cod liver oil? Remember when you talked about it? 500 milligrams of DHA. So you'll have to read the bottle. You'll have to read the label and find out. See some other things about lecithin here? How could you get it into them? Well, I found various ways. I'm sure there are more ways. I never thought of chocolate chips. Now that we know about chocolate wafers, huh? We have a whole world open to us. But otherwise, this is how parents do it. You can do like mini muffins. So you would take a muffin mix, probably gluten-free if that's where you are, and you would put 7 tablespoons of lecithin in there, and then you would just figure out how many muffins there were, and maybe 2 mini muffins would equal that. Lecithin makes all bread, all muffins, everything tastes better because it's like a butter. It makes it very moist. It's good to bake with. One of the only foods that we really can heat, the only oils we can heat and still have it, you know, be a good oil and a good fat. Lots of moms will make peanut butter balls. So on the weekend, they'll take peanut butter, bowl of peanut butter, put in honey, put 7 tablespoons of lecithin in, and roll the balls little. Some one mother said, oh, so there's just, they can't eat it. Well, what do you think the size balls she made? So little balls, and you take the balls and you roll them in like either coconut or sprinkles or mini chocolate chips or nuts if they can handle that. Then you put it in the refrigerator. And so for their snacks or for their lunch or any time, they can have as many peanut butter balls as they want. But how would you see, okay, I put 7 in this batch. Okay, let's say I have 21 balls, so how many do they need to take to get a tablespoon? It's a matter of the math. This is the only downside to that. Mothers have often found they make that on the weekend, they think they're set. By Tuesday afternoon, they're all gone because everyone likes them. Lecithin is good for everybody. It improves memory in adults too. So either you can just get lots of peanut butter or find other ways. You can put it in many things. It goes real well in oatmeal. You can start with little so they get used to the taste. The taste isn't bad, it's just the taste. Have you found anything successful to put that in other than?
I think it's great in smoothies, and whenever I bake bread, it goes in there too.
Lots of people who bake bread, thank you, do put it in bread. That we can't, that's not therapeutic amount, so because
right.
We can't right, figure out, okay, this is how many slices. So we try to see in a measurable way, but it can go in a smoothie too, even with a little flaxseed oil. So those are lecithin. The downside is we need to use granules because it takes 10 capsules, and they're great big capsules, to equal 1 tablespoon of lecithin. That's really just not going to work for us. So we need to use the granules. The good thing about granules is it's not a pill they have to swallow. The bad thing about granules is you have to find something that goes in. But there's a real plus side. And I notice the days when I take my lecithin. And my husband likes the lecithin too. He said when he was changing jobs, and from the private sector to the government sector, and he said, oh, I'm on a learning curve. What's going to help here? And he said, it's lecithin. And so he began taking that, and the little grandkids who were now older now, they were 3 and 4, so every time we had yogurt or anything, they'd come up and say, what do we put in here now? Papa's memory medicine and that white stuff? Acidophilus went in everything. You never had yogurt plain, because everything was considered a carrier. I know they're going to write a book about life with grandma. The weird things that they did. So we're going to talk about something really unusual and has come out lately by Dr. William Shaw in his Biomedical Treatments of Autism, ADD, SI, ADD, ADHD, is that they have found that there is a severe cholesterol deficiency in kids who have issues of ADD, ADHD, autism, anything like that, cholesterol. Now, that's the opposite of what we hear, isn't it? Do you know now they are developing cholesterol supplements? Because they have found that if the children's cholesterol gets too low, we have neurological fallout. Let's go ahead and take our common themes that they have seen in children who are struggling with behavior issues is, of all things, a cholesterol deficiency. So in this class, we're basically just blowing up all theories, aren't we? You're going to find all sorts of things basically were good for us that we had cut down, because we have really tried to replace cholesterol with fats that don't feed the brain. And this is just one more theme that tells us that very likely the way we have deranged the fats in our children's diets is what's bringing on a lot of neurological illnesses, is because we're just not feeding that child the fat that they need. Cholesterol, what have we heard about cholesterol? It's bad for you, right? We know that, however, over 60% of the people who have heart attacks have low cholesterol, not high cholesterol. So it's a factor, but certainly not the biggest factor by any means. It's a wonderful factor for pharmaceutical companies, though, because it's a really big seller, isn't it, cholesterol-reducing medication? We're not saying it doesn't work, it's just maybe not for everybody. Let's look at, this is Dr. William Shaw from his Great Plains Laboratory, a PhD who's done wonderful, wonderful research in children on with any kind of disorder that is behavioral or neurological or even learning. We found that cholesterol, of all things in these children, is deficient. It's needed for the myelin sheath. You know, cholesterol is needed for all the hormone production. The lower the cholesterol, we found the higher the depression and unwanted emotional states. This is what they found in Japan many years ago, that the lower the, because of all things, of course, they struggle to keep their cholesterol even at high because they eat such low cholesterol foods and such. But the lower the cholesterol, the higher the suicide, because it really is, their nervous system is assaulted and they're having to fight it all day long. We know that many autistic children, Dr. William Shaw tested in his Great Plains Laboratory, he found that children who had autism, in particular, he was looking at this one, but we find it's associated with many other maladies, that when they tested them, that they had cholesterol levels below 160, which is low, very low cholesterol reading. Now, they found that diet and specific supplements can help raise the cholesterol, and what they found is subsequent good behavior results also. So we're going to find a way to just make this work in an easy diet. But again, exploring the common factor, we're not saying cause, but we're saying a common factor in children with autism tends to be that they have no cholesterol. Now, individuals with SLOS, I'm not going to pronounce that because it's four doctors' names that were hard to pronounce, but they came up with, you know, they named this syndrome, where a child has an enzyme deficiency, that the enzyme doesn't break down the cholesterol. So the kids with SLOS have extremely low cholesterol values, extremely high values of 7-dehydrocholesterol, which means that the toxin, the metabolic factor, the metabolic output of it, just really the metabolite, is higher than it should be. So he was following this theme. Then he said, if that's the case, then none of the steroid hormones and bile salts that are derived from cholesterol can be adequately provided or produced. Well, let's look at cholesterol produces steroid hormones. What are we seeing going up so high? It's asthma and allergies. What do they give for severe allergic reaction or a severe asthmatic reaction? What? Cortisol is a steroid. And so we're finding that steroid hormones, we're using them all the time. What has increased just dramatically in terms of pharmaceutical medicines, and that is inhaled steroids, nasal steroids, or just plain orally taken steroids like prednisone. Many children are on inhaled steroids and nasal steroids. And yet, no one says, well, what are steroids made from? Cholesterol. And that's what they're lowering. And it could be they're getting enough cholesterol. Again, what are we talking? Enzyme deficiency, right? You see how it all seems to break down to that. Bile salts. Bile salts are made in the liver, and the liver is the main detoxifying agent that these children have. Any of us have. We know that cholesterol is an essential element in the myelin. It insulates the brain and nervous system, which is why lower cholesterol, they found for many years, 20 years ago, higher levels of depression. So it's really a good thing. These guys, they say they have an inborn error of cholesterol biosynthesis, which would be, in my opinion, just an enzyme not breaking it down. They found that cholesterol deficiency was common in regular autism spectrum disorder, as well as in SLOS, kids who did not have autism but had this enzyme deficiency. They found the 80 ASD kids too. So as they explored further, they found 86% of the children in SLOS, which means the enzyme deficiency, 86% of those kids who had that physical malady had disorders or behaviors on the autistic spectrum. That's a big number, a big correlation to find. They found many of the behavioral abnormalities significantly responded to supplementation with cholesterol. And you're going to see with this, the interesting thing is, it's a pretty rapid response. This is what I love about fats. You get a good response like you do with minerals. You get them quickly. Great Plains Laboratory, which is Dr. William Shaw's laboratory, found that 17% of kids on the autistic spectrum disorder, ASD, without the enzyme deficiency, SLOS, were extremely low in cholesterol, less than 100 milligrams. Remember, 160, anything below 160 is very low. Lower than 100, you're in big trouble. And he found that 57% of autistic children without being tested for SLOS had cholesterol levels that were low. So something else is going on too. In Japan, we know the lower the cholesterol levels were correlated with higher suicide rates, that we've known for years. High cholesterol, what does it do? It protects against some infectious diseases. They found people who have high cholesterol, maybe it may get stuck in the artery, but we know that that takes high homocysteine levels to get stuck in the artery, otherwise high cholesterol won't get stuck there. But when you have that, get stuck in the artery. But high cholesterol, they didn't have tuberculosis and the other infectious diseases. Why? Because all oils and fats stimulate the immune system. And they were particularly tuberculosis, of all things. They found tuberculosis, which has been increasing in the United States. So we take medicines to lower our cholesterol, and the infections go up. Maybe there's another way. They found that low cholesterol is associated with celiac disease, which is extremely gluten sensitive, with hyperthyroidism, liver disease, which is no surprise, and this is for our population, malabsorption and malnutrition. So low cholesterol is not a happy state for the body to be in. They found that pregnant women who had low cholesterol are twice as likely to have premature babies. Now think about that. Remember the study at the CU hospital? What did they do to lengthen the gestation periods for babies for women who were at high risk for premature delivery? Right. They gave them the essential fatty acids, which is an oil, and because they found they didn't even know that they had low cholesterol that predisposed them to that, they just knew that the oils helped. I love seeing patterns, because patterns tell us what's going on. We look at individual things, we can miss it. But if we look at a pattern and find groupings and say, are there enough clues here? That's when we can see big trends and answers that weren't seen before. We know the brain needs cholesterol. You know, we just think, oh, we have to lower it because it's in our arteries. No, we need to lower the homocysteine levels, the things that are causing the inside of the arteries to be ragged. And if it's ragged, then the cholesterol catches. Again, it's why it's catching in the drain pipe, not is it just more of it there. Homocysteine levels are high when you're low in B6, folic acid, and B12. So it's easy to supplement for those. And many people aren't checking homocysteine. Lots of doctors are now, but for sure. The brain, isn't this interesting, is the most cholesterol-rich organ in the body. So next time people think about taking cholesterol-lowering medication, you say, oh, are you wanting to lower the cholesterol in your brain? Because that's what's happening. The majority of cholesterol in the central nervous system is in the myelin, the insulation around the nerve fibers. All our sensory processing dysfunction kids have this kind of thing in common. They found the lowest values of low-density lipoproteins, or the lipids, are being found in low-functioning autism. So let's just look at a little few more things like this. Johns Hopkins University found that autistic symptoms in children with genetic disorder SLS, the cholesterol enzyme deficiency, quickly reversed after supplementation with dietary cholesterol. Let's look at that again. Johns Hopkins, very prestigious place, does lots of good studies, found that autistic children who also have that enzyme deficiency quickly reversed. That's what he talks about in all these articles, that they're seeing quick reversals. What are the improvements they saw? And they saw them fast. Long before the cholesterol levels raised in the blood, they saw these changes. Sleeping through the night, reduction of aberrant behaviors, learning to walk, speaking for the first time, even with adults, they found, and becoming more social. Now, do you notice that this list matches very closely the list of symptom improvement they saw with enzyme deficiency when they gave the enzymes? My thought is, what are the enzymes doing? Allowing that child to finally get cholesterol out of the foods that they're eating. So we see the same thing. Didn't we see sleeping through the night, better eye contact, better speech, speaking, all these kinds of things? We didn't hear the learning to walk, because that wasn't in that list of people there. But I think it's the same thing. Enzymes will help them use the fats, but we need to get the fats in the diet. Here they weren't replacing the enzyme, they were replacing the fat. That did the same thing. There they were replacing the enzyme so the fat could be used. What if we did both? What if we increased the fat and the enzymes? Better improvement is what I think. And in fact, I just have this list here, just this list. Each one of these comes with stories. Stories of people's lives that were changed. Walked for the first time. Speaking for the first time. I mean, just, you know, just a little thing like the one-liner changed his lives. Imagine if that was your child or your adult that you had. Cholesterol supplementation. There's a supplement for this. You can supplement with eggs, lecithin, the fats and oils. That's one good way to supplement. And then if for some children, if it wasn't enough, they actually have made a cholesterol supplement. Doesn't that just blow all the way things that we think about with cholesterol-lowering medication? But you know, there are always two sides to every coin. This is what they found, decreased infections. Now remember, we said one of the things they believe that is causative problem with kids who have ASD is that they're chronic infections. They're finding the fat, the cholesterol, because it helps to make the steroid hormones, reduce the amount of infections these kids get. Skin rashes, very decreased amount of skin rashes. Marked reduction in self-hurtful behaviors because they don't need to have a pain to overcome another irritation, constant pain. Oftentimes when you don't have enough coating in your myelin, enough fat, your skin just kind of itches and feels like little creepy crawly things are all over. It's a symptom that these kids have all the time. Unless they can tell you about it, you don't know they have it. If you ask the ones that are verbal, they'll say they have it. So we wonder why they hurt their skin. Well, have you ever had a mosquito bite that itches so much that you know if you scratch it more, you're going to get an open sore and it's going to hurt? But what do? You keep scratching it, don't you? Because at some point, isn't that actually the pain better than the constant itching? And that's, I believe, why we get a marked reduction in self-hurtful behaviors. Improved muscle tone. Oh, we have lots of hypotonia with these children. One of which is, we know, vitamin E. We've known for years any child with low muscle tone is low on vitamin E. But again, what's vitamin E? A fat. It's a plant-based fat. This is an animal-based fat. Decreased tactile defensiveness. Why? We cushioned, one more way to cushion that, the nervous system. And rapid growth. Many of our little children, because of the dietary deficiencies that they are experiencing, because of the low enzyme rate, and so they can't break down food, they're not growing the same. Many of them have skinny little arms, don't they? Many of them have some growth issues. These changes occurred within days, before cholesterol values had increased in the blood, which indicates that improvements may be the result of cholesterol forming its derivatives such as steroid hormones and bile salts. Bile salts are the, of course, what we need as digestive enzymes that come from the liver and from the gallbladder. You know how many people can't, if they have gallbladder issues, they can't handle fat. But they can with enzymes. So cholesterol deficiency, they found that everyday supplementation with high cholesterol foods such as egg yolks, whipping cream, oh, what a terrible diet to be on, butter, liver, etc., had proven to be a useful therapy to try for a few months for children with autism who have cholesterol values that are low. That's what they found in this laboratory study and what they're doing. This is something very interesting, the neurological value of high-fat foods. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Dr. Freeman's diet, the ketogenic diet. In fact, a story about a little boy named Stevie who had so many seizures. He had 100 seizures a day, and he was only not even 2 years old. His dad was a producer in Hollywood. So he stopped making movies and studied how to help his little Stevie with all these seizures, because he tried medicine after medicine after medicine. Either it made him sleep all the time, or he had seizures all the time. And the other children, he has this whole thing documented, of course, being a producer, is it documented. We see him sitting there just having seizures, and the other kids just petting him and holding his hand, the siblings, because it was just so awful. So finally, they hardly got any relief at all with the medicine. So he decided to study, and he found the ketogenic diet. Again, Johns Hopkins is where Dr. Freeman is from. And they went, and then they said, well, aren't you trying the high-fat diet? He said, what do you mean high-fat diet? He said, well, yes, the ketogenic diet has worked very well with kids who have seizures. What does ketogenic mean? Ketones. If you throw ketones in your urine, that means that you are losing protein, but you're using a lot of fat. So you remember Dr. Atkins' diet? One of the ways that you knew that you were in the zone where your body was using a lot of fat was in when you went into ketosis. Well, the ketogenic diet, with that, the parents had to have a special diet that stopped seizures. And I have worked with kids who their parents said, when we went on the ketogenic diet, that was the end of their seizures. What it is they need to weigh out food. The opposite of the Weight Watchers scale. The Weight Watchers scale would just disintegrate with the kind of things that we're going to put on it. They had to weigh, they had to have so much whipping cream a day, so much ice cream a day, so much butter a day, so much oil a day. And they thrived on that in terms of seizures. No seizures. One gal said the only thing is she had her daughter on that for 5 years and she had no seizures. But the problem is that it can grow. It's not a good grow. It's not a healthy diet. And you can't keep the child on. 5 years is longer than she should have been on it. So they put a shunt in there and to help her with the vagus nerve. So, you know, they have the vagus nerve stimulator, and that helped a little bit. But she really had to go on to Depakote and Tegretol and different types of Lamictal, different types of anti-seizure medicine after she got off of the high-fat diet. Why would that be? Remember, the brain is 60% fat. All fat and oils are electron carriers. What are seizures? Electrical storms. So it just settles down, the electricity in that storm. And so it can't go wild. It says, okay, you're going to coat me with enough fat? All right, I guess I won't just jump all over the place then. I guess I will have a pathway to follow. So that's why I believe they saw that difference. They said although very high levels of cholesterol are associated with heart disease, but that's only with high homocysteine is what we're finding, values that are low, less than 160, are associated with increased violent behavior, because everything bothers you. Suicide, depression, anxiety is spelled wrong, but that's supposed to have an X, bipolar, Parkinson's disease, and increased mortality from cancer. It's just something else to think about, only the fact that it fits in with the other fat theory, and it is a value that they're finding that is a commonality among children with these disorders. So this is an interesting little personal note. We're going to find that everybody who's doing any kind of research and writing and any time spent in this almost always has somebody in their family impacted. Why? Because you don't get any money to do this. You know, 15 minutes a day to see a child as a doctor. I mean, that's what you get. So what? Why would you go into this only because you're passionate? Do you think you can see a family with a child on the autistic spectrum disorder, SI, if you could see them 15 minutes? No way. It's an hour visit every time. So you see, it's so not a moneymaker for these guys, but why are they in it? Because they personally got interested for their family. So Dr. Shah's niece, Paulina, was a young girl with autism. She was found, after he learned all of this, was doing all these lab studies, found to have low cholesterol levels, 142. Now, they found out, actually, the whole story was she was going, doing fine, and went to school, and they're getting all sorts of different kinds of reports how she was withdrawing and withdrawing and withdrawing, and they finally figured out what had happened during that time. They found she had an egg allergy. Not a huge egg allergy, but a little egg allergy. They pulled eggs away. So when eggs were eliminated due to this allergy, her behavior came more bizarre. And basically, they said she just stopped talking, stopped interacting, and just basically became part of the wall. So then they said, okay, well, we're going to start adding 2 eggs a day, because she didn't have an IgE reaction. She just had a lower reaction. It wasn't a 3. She wasn't going to go anaphylactic. And so they gave her some eggs. Well, when they added 2 eggs a day, the bizarre behavior stopped, and cholesterol went up to 157. They could do this because she only had a mild allergy to eggs. Of course, a child with a bigger reaction, you would have to try other ways to increase the cholesterol, which would be maybe like liver, right? Then, you know, you have that every Thursday night. I know that's on your menu to make that. That's why I think one of the reasons why many, many years ago I found out, and I know many other people did, that my kids did well when I gave them liver capsules. I didn't know it was a cholesterol piece, but I thought I was doing it for the iron, B12, and arachidonic acid, but I believe this is another piece. You know, Mimi's restaurant has good liver and onions, so you take them there once a week. But at any rate, that's, I believe, one more reason why the foods that we're finding have worked. So I thought that was just a fascinating aside about cholesterol and added to our knowledge about why it's important to feed them good foods and feed them fats and feed them real butter and real mayonnaise and not do anything low fat or with hydrogenated fats or that is a fat that has been manipulated. How many of these kids would turn down, do you think, French fries? I haven't found any yet. There probably are some because nothing's always, but I would expect that not many of them. French fries, of course, displace all the good fats. So it's not like never have French fries, but what do they live on? French fries and chicken nuggets and pizza and macaroni and cheese and noodles and all of that. So we want to change that. So one last thought here about cholesterol. We found that when a cholesterol supplement became available, they made it. The mother of all inventions, right? You need it, you make it. That Dr. Shah used this with Paulina because she had stomach aches with eggs. She didn't have a true allergy, it was an intolerance, wasn't it? She had stomach aches with it, but stomach aches are totally withdrawn. They said, okay, we'll do that. And now, New Beginnings Nutritionals, it has a product called Sonic Cholesterol. You wonder where these names come from, right? Sonic cholesterol to correct that cholesterol deficiency. Each capsule contains 250 milligrams of pure medical grade cholesterol, which is about the same as one egg. That's all I really know about that particular. I don't know how it tastes, how you can open it, but it must be something that you can get in foods for kids. www.nbnus.com, I believe, carries that for people who are interested. And GreatPlainsLaboratory.com is where you could read many more stories about this. If you know somebody, if somebody in your family who's on the ASD spectrum, then it's just something to consider. We're going to look at another. We're looking at supplements that help children and help them fast. I always use natural medicines. And we're going to look at the natural medicines that we have found that seem to work for children and work quickly. Many of the children that I would be seeing, the parents said, they're on Ritalin or Concerta, and we have to get them off of it because either they were getting so anorexic or they were ticking. They're pulling off their eyelashes and eyebrows. So we went to this whole nutritional program, always starting with an antifungal, moving on to the oils, all those kinds of things, so that we could get their system beginning to feel better. But I use the natural medicines, and let's talk about them. I like natural medicines because we get really good results from them. Nothing's 100%, but a lot. So the natural medicines that we're going to talk about here are 5-HTP and lithium orotate that needs cofactors. They each need cofactors. They both need magnesium, B6 and B3 to be assimilated, and we'll show how to get that in. We're going to talk about them specifically. First, we're going to talk about 5-HTP as a natural medicine. Remember, we had this slide earlier that we said if a child's low in serotonin, which means they have focusing issues or sleep issues or behavior issues or Eeyore, we wanted them to be Winnie the Pooh or Piglet instead of Eeyore. So we say why? Well, we knew the number one food is essential fatty acids. Remember, that's why this cholesterol study I thought was so fascinating, because it goes one more reason why when you're low serotonin, all those things are hard for you, and cholesterol is part of that. But what did we say is the next food, common food for serotonin? And that's tryptophan, which we said we get from an amino acid. Amino acid is the breakdown of protein. And when protein has the correct enzymes to break down, it converts to 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan, which converts to serotonin, that wonderful feel-good neurotransmitter that we all tend to be a little bit low in. So let's see what we know about it. It's manufactured in the gut, which is why all these kids have gastrointestinal issues. So are you beginning to see how it can connect the dots? Isn't it fascinating when you get all these errant pieces of data and you see the pattern and you put that pattern together and you see changes? I mean, that's just very exciting. So 5-HTP, let's look at that. 5-hydroxytryptophan can be gotten at a health food store. They normally get it from the Grifonia seed in Africa. It's a natural medicine. Natural medicine that are used by many, many practitioners. It naturally raises serotonin levels. When you're taking an antidepressant, that only recirculates the serotonin levels. It doesn't give you any food for it. So if you're taking an antidepressant, you need the essential fatty acids and some 5-HTP to give your body the food. Otherwise, people often say they get off of an antidepressant because they don't like the side effects, or they're feeling good. They're feeling good, so they get off of it. They think they've healed themselves, but without putting in any food, they haven't. So what happens? Gradually, it unravels until pretty soon their husband says, "Honey, you need your antidepressant." Oh, okay. And so then they go back on it. What if they would use a natural antidepressant? The natural antidepressant, in fact, there's a study that was done by reported by Dr. Michael Murray. What they did is they took a group of patients that on the Hamilton Depression Scale had shown that they were highly depressed, over 25. Remember, they're about 29 points, and they're over 25 points is how they scored in the Hamilton Depression Scale. And what they did was they gave half of these subjects Luvox, fluoxamine, an SSRI, 50 milligrams, 3 times a day. Then they gave the other half 100 milligrams of 5-HTP, 3 times a day. At the end of 6 weeks, they tested them again using the Hamilton Depression Scale, and the results were better with the 5-HTP with fewer side effects, and we're going to look at that study in just a little bit. 5-HTP is something we don't typically with kids use when they're taking Ritalin. Strattera is another medicine that is different than Ritalin. Ritalin works in the serotonin loop. Strattera works in the dopamine loop. So generally, those two can more likely be taken together, but a good thing to discuss with your doctor first. And other antidepressants for children. But I have to tell you, there are many naturopaths that will treat adults who come in taking an antidepressant with a 5-HTP, because they said if you don't take something to build the serotonin, you're always going to be dependent on this or need to have more. So if we do the 5-HTP, if we decide that that's something that we want to try for a child or an adult, we use a ratio of 2 to 1, 2 milligrams for every pound of weight taken in divided doses throughout the day. But would you mind telling us about your son? I'm sorry, is it Mary Ellen?
Mary Rose.
Mary Rose, well, I got the first part right. Would you mind giving a comment about the 5-HTP for your son? I saw her son in second grade, if I'm right, and he's now seventh grade. And you were telling me that the 5-HTP is something you used.
Right. After the consultation, we started with the lecithin, the 5-HTP, and essential fatty acids. I'm giving it to him during the day, 3 times a day, and he's doing up to like 8 capsules of the essential fatty acids. Because when he was in kindergarten and first grade, they said they had concerns about his inability to sit still, that he was jumping up all the time. They were telling me that he was hyperactive. And as a special ed teacher, I just questioned that because, he could be very focused on things he was interested in. I mean, he could play with his Legos for long periods of time or watch movies or act out, movies and be very bright. So I just didn't see that was, he was hyperactive. And after your consultation, we put him on those supplements, and remarkable as far as his ability to attend to things, to remain seated during classwork, and his whole focus and ability. I mean, he's pretty much a straight A student.
Yay! I would so love to take credit for him being a straight A student now.
But because it could focus and attend to.
Because it could focus and attend, exactly.
And not be jumping up every 2 minutes, that he'd have to go sharpen his pencil, and then he'd sit down and fall out of his chair, and, just be goofy and by the class clownish.
Yeah.
And was a disruption to himself and to the class. So that was a concern that the principal and the teachers, when we had parent-teacher conferences, sat down and talked about. But I just didn't think, that he was hyperactive. I mean, totally. And so after the consultation, I take in the right brain, got to a struggling learner class, and we talked about the lecithin and the whole writing aid thing. We did all of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember when we did the consultation and you were doing the crossing the knees, and he was one knee going up.
He was homolateral.
He couldn't cross over. You figured he was right-handed but left eye.
Mixed dominant.
Yeah, mixed dominant. remarkable changes.
Good, I'm glad to hear. Do you still do the 5-HTP?
Yes, we do.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because once you find something that works,
stick with it.
Thank you. So a young man who was in second grade is now a seventh grader, and the 5-HTP helped him. You said it was a remarkable ability to focus. We hear that most of the time. Not 100% of the time, which is why we're going to look at some other natural medicines. But most of the time, that's not an uncommon scenario or report, so thank you for telling us about that. So what we do is, let's say a child weighs 50 pounds, they could take 100 milligrams of 5-HTP, couldn't they? And we divide it between breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Many times the children have, mainly, they can't fall asleep well. So we give it to them before they go to bed because it works incredibly well for insomnia. And Dr. Michael Murray found that it really helps with sleep quality in children for the kids that are waking up unhappy all the time, grumpy. You say, I wonder if they really slept well. So it helps with sleep quality. It reduces nighttime awakenings, but you can't do it with your newborn. Nighttime awakenings are necessary. So, nighttime awakenings, they say nightmares, night terrors, and other parasomnias. So kids who have nightmares, night terrors are screaming out, I'm low serotonin. Can you help me build up my serotonin? 5-HTP does it fast. It'll do it within 45 minutes. But then the essential fatty acids and lecithin and the other things do it more slow. So we love this stuff. So this is an email I got from a mom. She says, thank you. She says, and in fact, this comes up a little faster than I'd like it to, and I don't know how to read that little one down there, but she said, so hard to believe one little pill could make such a big difference. But what she said is, I asked my daughter how much homework she had. Her reply was, none. I finished it all in class. She's happy instead of moody. One of the two things that 5-HTP helps with, because it is an immediate serotonin booster, such as Ritalin, except it's not a recirculator, it's a food, is it helps you focus and it helps your mood. So if you have an Eeyore, especially, who can't focus, you know he needs a little mood elevator. That is just natural. My daughter has a friend, and she had migraines. You know, Imitrex helps to release serotonin, and so she uses a 5-HTP instead, but she's using it for her migraines, but she called it her happy pill. I said, I keep it in my glove compartment, because when I sometimes pick up kids from school and I get one of them that's an Eeyore, you know, came home, oh, it's usually the same one, you know, oh, it's such a bad day, and everybody else is excited, so I say, here, you take one, and I'll take one, and we do, with water in the car. By the time we get home, we're all happy. It's a good day. So 5-HTP is nice to know about. All my children with sensory processing issues do well with 5-HTP because it improves their buffering system immediately. So this is the study that I talked to you about. In this study, the subjects received either 5-HTP 100 milligrams 3 times a day or fluoxamine 50 milligrams 3 times a day for 6 weeks. And let's look at the results. The percentage of decrease in depression was slightly better in the 5-HTP group, 60% versus 56%. But remember, one's a medicine that the liver has to work to detoxify. Any medicine you take, you're making your liver work harder. A natural supplement, you don't. The 5-HTP was faster acting than the fluoxamine, and a higher percentage of patients responded to the 5-HTP than fluoxamine. And we're not saying, you know, we need to take one more than the other. It's just nice to know, though, that there is a, can be a change like that. So this is what we saw in the categories. There, under the depressed mood, what they found is that under the 5-HTP, that improved in 65% and a reduction in severity, and fluoxamine was 61%. Anxiety for 5-HTP was 58% reduced, for fluoxamine was 48% reduced. Physical symptoms, headaches, muscle aches, everything hurts. Kids who have things hurt all the time, you think of low serotonin. Yes?
Do you happen to know what the study samples were, the N's on the two?
I could give you the study and the name of the book, and you can look all of that up. And study is in the back, all of those references. I don't have that here. The physical symptoms, 47% reduced versus 37%, and insomnia, 61% reduction in severity of insomnia versus 55%. So, before we leave 5-HTP, I just want to say that that is just a really good natural medicine that you can ask your doctor if you can try that with your children, if they are taking a medication to help them to focus, or if they have sensory problems that are impacting their day so that they can't handle noise, can't handle the other things. It's just a nice, quick little way to help that serotonin beef up. After a while, they often don't need it. As many times, we do the 2-to-1 ratio, but many times kids find after a while they only need one a day, and it holds them. But it's a real nice thing to have around. I love 5-HTP, and most any health practitioner will tell you about that particular one. Now we're gonna look at the next natural medicine. Remember how we just are breaking all what we call sacred cows, one of which is cholesterol is good for these kids and not bad, and all sorts of other things. Well, now we're going to talk about a product called lithium orotate. And when we think of lithium, generally don't we think of, well, that's what they use to treat manic depressive. That's a heavy medicine. Well, actually, lithium isn't a medicine. Lithium is a mineral. It's a salt. What they do is when they need to use it as a medicine, they combine it with carbonate. And carbonate is a very hard substance to digest. And so they have to give lots and lots of it. So we're going to look at lithium as a natural means of helping these children. Lithium is natural. It's a salt that the body needs. Didn't we, it was another sacred cow we broke, which is that salt is good for you instead of bad. I mean, everything here seems to be the opposite of what you've heard, but in reality, these are the things that we're finding. The parts of the country that have low lithium levels have higher levels of psychological distress. the areas that have higher lithium levels, they said they just can't keep their psychiatric hospitals filled. Lithium is a very important part of our body that we didn't realize. If you ever have hair analysis done, they will find if you are, it'll list lithium there, selenium and copper and zinc and lithium. You need to have a certain level of this important mineral and salt in your body. If you don't, you can't get in equilibrium. And one of the things we see with these kids is often a disequilibrium. Dr. William Shaw just recently, I've been looking into lithium, we've been using it for lots of years, and we have a study now. Dr. William Shaw found that many autistic children are very low in lithium levels. He began testing them across the board. Whereas before, we would test them only if we took a child in and they checked the levels and they found it. Otherwise, we just knew that first, do no harm, and it doesn't. Now, what does lithium do? Lithium is needed to transport B12 into the brain. You know, B12 is, of course, that's when is for the nervous system. And we're going to look later on, one of the things they do as a therapy for these children on the spectrum disorder is give B12 injections. And these little kids who often can't speak, one of the first things words they'll say is B12, because they feel so good when they take it. So lithium is, remember lithium batteries? It transmits what? Electricity. And that's what this particular salt does. Now they found that it protects from brain damage from environmental toxins. Now isn't that what these guys are experiencing? Is at least brain effect from environmental toxins such as mercury, various toxins from viruses, etc. I think this next statement is just remarkable. Now this has been tested, it's documented, it's all machine tested. Lithium, they found, according to MRIs, increases gray brain matter by 3% in 4 weeks. And they've just measured it, and they have all those measurements. It's just amazing to me that you can increase your gray matter, which I would think would maybe help you be smarter. Who knows? And it improves liver function. Because remember what the studies did in Bellevue Hospital. What did they put together? Liver, lecithin, lithium. They said, they thought at one point, and of course this was probably done in the 90s and it hasn't come to pass, but in their studies, they were feeling that lecithin would one day replace lithium. Why were they looking for ways to replace lithium? Because the medical community is using lithium carbonate. Lithium carbonate, you have to take so much of it that you get side effects. It'll either reduce thyroid, it'll give you tremors, you can get toxic, but no one looked at the transport system. When we put lithium with an orotate, it transports right into the cell. You need such minute amounts that there's no side effect. In fact, if you get blood levels to see any toxicity, it wouldn't even register on the blood levels. But it makes a big difference. In fact, the amounts that cause the growth in the gray matter, the 3% growth, would not even register on a blood test because it's trace amounts, like 5 milligrams versus 300 milligrams 3 times a day. So it's just all amount of which, all the matter of which mineral transport system that you use. In fact, by the way, Dr. Jonathan Wright is considered one of the gurus, the fathers of alternative medicine. And he says he takes lithium every day because there's nothing more neuroprotective than lithium orotate. When I went to the Asperger's Autism Conference, and I got to talk to a lot of the docs there, and many of the alternative docs say, oh yeah, we take that every day because it protects against Alzheimer's. All sorts of things that we're learning about this trace mineral. In trace amounts, it's used very successfully for ADD and ADHD. Many times we can replace medications with this. We try 5-HTP first. That does the job? Fine. We don't have to go further. If it doesn't, then we'll just do a lithium orotate by itself. Always checking with the doctor. And then, if not, you can even put the two together. Because the two together, any one of these does not have the side effects of the medicines. Because we know the long-term side effects of taking a Ritalin and such we're seeing now in adults is lots more dependency. Thanks. What does lithium orotate do? It reduces aggression. It improves memory. Mesothin, lithium, liver. It's a salt which produces numerous changes in the neurotransmitter activity of the brain. All neurotransmitters are benefited just by putting this salt in. It's like adding a lithium battery to anything, and suddenly you get better transmission. Low dose stimulates serotonin synthesis. And it's used for, this is the last one that is this wonderful statement for our children who we think may have injuries from vaccines and mercury. It's used for brain injuries from vaccines and mercury because it seems to be able to detoxify that and tell the, give the signals for that to be properly digested and detoxed. Let's look at one more thing. One more common use of lithium is for anxiety, commonly used for migraine headaches. Because why? It reduces that intracellular edema. That is the pressure. All it does is it's an edema, a water fluid retention, causes your brain to swell and it feels pressure and you have pain. They use it a lot for drug and alcohol recovery. And it blocks the development of the advancement of brain of Alzheimer's. And it helps to treat brain allergy. And really, that's pretty much what we're talking about all the way through here, is brain allergy. So then what are the amounts? It comes in 5 milligram elemental amounts, and you get it from a company named Atrium. That's the kind we carry. Otherwise, you can even go to your health food store and you can get it in micrograms. Let's look and see what we can use about the compound amounts. It comes in microgram amounts. The prescription lithium carbonate used for manic depression is given often, as we said, 300 milligrams, three times a day. Big amounts, side effects, poor compliance, because it flattens, for a true manic depressive, it flattens their mood so much they don't like it. For others, they get hypothyroidism, they get tremors. It just doesn't work well. It truly even isn't a medicine, it's just a mineral or a salt. And these guys, 5 milligrams. So this amount, of course, has side effects. But it comes in 500 micrograms. Remember, 1,000 milligrams equals 1 microgram? So that would be half a milligram, versus 300 three times a day, half a milligram. Or even 5 milligram tablets. Or, now, William Shaw has it in his lab as a liquid. I think at the health food stores, you can get it in micrograms as a tablet. And then we get it from Atrium as a 5 milligram tablet. I remember one of the first times, well, this may be 9 years ago or so, when a mom brought her second grader in and he just had such issues with hyperactive attention. They said, we're gonna have to test him, we don't know. The 5-HTP wasn't a big answer for him. Most often it is, but it wasn't. So we did some, one little 5 milligram, actually started with a half of a 5 milligram tablet, and they love it because it tastes like salt. Put it in their hand, they said, oh, can I suck it? Because remember, they always love salt. And they took his salt, and the teacher, when they had a conference in the end of the week, she said, boy, that medicine you're putting him on is wonderful. Was it Ritalin? No, it wasn't. It was a natural salt that protected his brain instead of the medicine that his liver had to work with. So it's only 1/40th of the prescription amount. So just want you to know there are lots of good answers out there. There are lots of good natural medicines that work fast, work remarkably well, and have just brain neuroprotective kinds of effects. If you want to find out more about how to do the lithium and 5-HTP and those types of things, I just have the biology behavior CD set that has been available for lots of years. It's just 2 CDs. It has a study guide inside that gives you a week-by-week supplement program to follow. And on the back, we say which of the, in the study guides, which one of the natural medicines you might want to start about what symptoms and which, how fast do you want to start it? And all the order, all of that is on there for, I think it's like $25 or something. It's like having a nutritionist in your home if you want to do that. Otherwise, you can just follow what we have here because I have lots of things written down for you. Our naturopaths, nutritionists, anybody you go to knows about this. Some chiropractors know about the natural medicines. I haven't found that to be as pervasive among our chiropractors. I'm sure it'll get to be more so. Let's look at something else that goes on with these kids, and one of it is called pyroluria. It's an interesting, name. What happens is they're throwing out cryptopyrrole, or Dr. Woody McGinnis calls it cryptopyrrole, which is probably more the name, but since pyrrole makes more sense to me, that's how I'll call it right now. This is a very common thing that they found at the Brain BioCenter. Many, many people have this, and to the degree to which you have it means how you handle tension. This condition of pyroluria causes large amounts of B6 and zinc to be lost in the urine. Why do we care about that? B6 and zinc, again, are just very neurologically active. So there's an interesting story that I want to tell you about a young man who was in college, and he was the son of a teacher's friend that I worked with. So I worked with a teacher, didn't know this mom. She had four boys, and all the other three had gone through CSU, and they'd all graduated with A averages. And now her fourth boy was at CSU. And one night, he came home the middle of the night, barefoot, all disheveled, and when he woke up in the morning, he told his mom, the reason he had to come home is because he heard in his head that she was responsible for the Oklahoma bombings, and he needed to kill her. Well, that changed their lives. So they, husband and wife, stayed up. Nobody went to bed. One person was always watching him. They thought, maybe he's just sick, fever or something. It didn't get any better. He had totally aberrant behavior. So they took him into the doctor, and they said he has schizophrenia. He said it's not uncommon among 20-year-olds at all. And he said, we're going to treat it, but you don't get over it. He said, if you had four boys, consider you have three. That was a really big blow. And I remember we were in a workshop in an in-service, and my friend, the teacher, was telling me this in breaks. And I said, well, he just got really toxic, which is something. Said, we need to get him detoxified. And so by that time, then they had put him in a psychiatric ward floor of the hospital, and he was doing okay while they were trying to balance meds. But one of the orderlies told him to do something or got too close to him, and he pushed him, and that put him into the state hospital. And then he was basically like in a padded cell so it wouldn't hurt himself, and they gave him Thorazine, so he began rocking back and forth and had more aberrant thoughts, more auditory hallucinations is what it was. So anyway, the mom was just frantic, and the dad just frantic as anybody would be. And so I said, we need to get him to the Brain BioCenter in Chicago. It's now called the Carl Pfeiffer Treatment Center. And because he's gotten toxic to something, they'll find out what's causing this imbalance and what to do. Well, he did go there. And it was hard to get him there because first, even to get him to be kept home for a weekend, he had to, just had to work and work, and he was on meds, and then getting him, can you imagine? And the airplane was all a nightmare. But he only needed to spend one day there. They take vials of blood, like 12 vials of blood, and hair, and they do a 24-hour urine. And so, when you come there, you have a bucket, and they pee in the urine, and they check that. It has to be 24 hours. They checked everything. And he came back home, and they called with the reports, and they found out he was exactly like we see a lot of these kids with milder symptoms. His copper was very, very high, very high, and his zinc was very low. And he had this pyroluria, but to a huge extent, he was just throwing zinc out like crazy. So they balanced his diet by giving him, and it's by giving supplements, as using them as medication. So first he took them, and then he could get out of the hospital longer periods of time. But pretty soon he was dismissed from the hospital, but he was still at home and felt a little pretty paranoid, and that got better and better. By the next fall, he could go back to CSU. And he ended up graduating with an A average. But this is a story that he tells. He says, you know, I got tired of taking those vitamins. I think he was taking probably 40 of them a day. And he said, I got tired of taking them, which of course any college student would. So I stopped taking some of them, and then I started stopped taking all of them. And he said, but pretty soon I started hearing voices in my head again. So he said, I started taking them. So this young man, does he have to take supplements all his life? Yes. But is that worth it? Can he stay out of hospitals? Can he stop voices that are telling him to do violent things? And so this can be just a huge thing, or it can be a little thing. But pyelluria is something that is that they have found a measurable way to see that a child's low in zinc. What would be another way? Seeing white spots on the fingernails. But some kids don't exhibit white spots. By the time they exhibit white spots, they have a real low level of zinc. It means their copper's too high. It's always a teeter-totter. If copper gets high, zinc gets low. And we need to get that higher. So there are behavioral symptoms and physical symptoms, as we see. The behavioral symptoms of having this pyelluria, which means you're throwing out too much zinc and B6 in your urine, would be poor stress control and pale skin. Nervousness, a lot of inner tension. Now this is interesting, morning nausea. How many kids wake up and can't eat breakfast? They have the morning nausea. And mood swings and loss of appetite. If we just look at morning nausea, I have another little aside about that one. One of the things that happens when you're pregnant is you can get real low in B6. And my daughter was pregnant with her second child, and it was very soon after her first pregnancy, and she was just throwing up so much, they call it hyperemesis gravidaria, which means she was throwing up so much they were going to have to put her in the hospital because emesis means constant vomiting. So they were going to put her in the hospital. I said, before you do, I said, can I give her some B6 injections? And the regular doctor said, well, no, you can't, and you're not a nurse, and we don't believe B6 works, and etc. So I went to my doctor in Colorado Springs, who's an MD, but he, you know, thinks outside the box. And I said, how much should I give you? He said, absolutely, let's do that. So he got the syringes and serum. And she got 1 cc of B6 each day, and immediately her nausea would stop, but it only lasted for 24 hours. So the next morning she would need that again. Then we knew that if you put vitamin K with it, because see, if you're low in vitamin K, you have leaking between the placenta wall and the bloodstream, so the toxins of babies system, the amniotic fluid gets into the system and makes you nauseated. So she went on and we gave her the shots, but she only needed that for 2 weeks. And from then on, she was fine. She could eat, she could gain food, gain weight. Then next time she was pregnant with twins, so you know where that's going to go, but she ran ahead of herself. She said, I don't think I'll need shots. As soon as she knew she was pregnant, she took massive amounts of B6 and never needed that. So this is what I find. When mothers have lots of nausea and vomiting when they're pregnant, that baby is going to need B6 all through their life because they're lower in it, and that's what we discovered. So B6 is a real anti-nausea vitamin. So, and in fact, they were playing with the doctor, said, okay, you can take 25 milligrams of B6 when you're pregnant. That will be safe. You know, nothing's safe when you're pregnant. You really need to go into a closet for 9 months. Drink water, according to what everybody, you know, tells you. But what she, of course, did it according to Dr. Alan Gaby's research, which is hyperactive children and pregnancies and such, and high B6 therapy. She took 200 milligrams a day. She kept from getting any nausea. So loss of appetite, mood swings, those are the types of things. Anorexic kids are always incredibly low in B6 and zinc. Severe inner tensions, white spots on their fingernails, and lots of anger. Depression. Now, one of the ways you can tell if you have a good B6 level in your body is if you can recall your dreams. If you have people, like my sister was here over from Minnesota over the holidays, and she said, I can never remember my dreams. She needs B6, you take B6, and you can remember your dreams. B6 does lots of other things, so we're not just treating the dreams. Hyperactivity, this is the other thing. lots of times on my questionnaires, they are very sensitive to light, very sensitive to sound, and very sensitive to odor. Wouldn't that be our sensory processing kids? Everything bothers them. Well, I knew that sound, we can get rid of sound sensitivity, a hyperacusia, by doing magnesium, by putting the hands over the ears. But we now, what is, and we look at the triangle and we're going to look at it after a while, we know now, chemically, sorry, after lunch I didn't put my little, what's on here? We know that when a child has white spots, or they are low and they have hyperacusia, very sensitive to sounds, we know it's a triangle. That we know three things now. We know that they are low in zinc, they are low in B6, and they are low in their other brother, which is magnesium. Oops. You know, these touch screens are wonderful, aren't they? But you touch them and they decide they need to give you messages. So zinc, B6, and magnesium. The pyroluria tells you you're low in zinc, but you know that you're also low in the others. So because, what did we find? We found that when they had light, sound, and odor sensitivities, those went away. Other kids get them in their food. They get all of these nutrients we're talking about separately in their food. Why do these children not get it in their food? They can't break anything down, right? So that's why for a while we put it in one by one, and then later on, our hope is we don't have to do that all their life. Social withdrawal and intolerance. Those are some of the symptoms that we see. Dr. Bernard Rimland did wonderful research in this area. He reported that autistic children did better with high doses of B6. He gave us the amounts, 8 milligrams of B6 for the body weight. Symptoms improved were arm flapping, eye contact, behavioral improvements. This is one of the first things that came out at least 15 years ago when Dr. Bernard Rimland was asking parents, what helps? What are you finding that helps? One of the first things that people, they told them is high B6. And so he began to then send out questionnaires. Anybody else using B6 that helps? That's how he gathered all of these improvements. This was found by parents. But just think of how they're searching. Would you have thought to go and do a B6 for your child? Just think how they are searching and the answers they found and the kids they have helped. Now we know the reason they're not using B6, big surprise, they're not converting it into pyridoxine 5-phosphate, P5P. Now we're using natural P5P as the active form because it helps utilize the B6. And in fact, as of yesterday, I got an email, and I thought I'm going to bring it here, from Jeff. I had seen his young boy, I think he was about 6. He didn't have an autism label. He just had a lot of the symptoms and a very hard time for speech. Very, very speech impacted. And he said, by the way, we had our baby Benjamin on January 1st when I saw them, which wasn't too long ago. His wife is pregnant. He said, Brandon is almost starting to speak full sentences now. Before we were just into a few words, errant words here and there. So exclamation point. And he said, yes, because of that gene abnormality, he's studying this, that didn't allow him to utilize B6, it's the P5P, the active form, is what we see as doing the difference. Here is a dad who was studying it, brought their child, they're already seeing changes, but he said, anytime you need me to talk to any of your groups, anytime you need any kind of testimony, he's very excited about this and the fact that it can make changes. But I just got that email, so I had to highlight, Brandon is almost starting to speak in full sentences now. You had seen Brandon, and I saw him, you would be very excited too. And not only did he just say one word at a time, he shouted it, and he did, his neck got so involved too. The poor thing, it took such incredible effort for him to speak. Just a wonderful, delightful little boy, but that was just a hard, hard thing for him. So I thought, oh, I'll stick that in with my little testimonies about the use of B6 to help children. We know that B6, now we know magnesium and zinc, so we get them all together. And that's what we did for Brandon. Dr. Alan Gaby found that large doses of B6 has the same calming effect as Ritalin in 60% of hyperactive children. And they did a double-blind, placebo-controlled study giving high-dose and low-dose B6 zinc, and then they did high-dose, low-dose Ritalin, and they found that they had better effects with this than they had with the Ritalin. And with the good, you know, the nice thing about doing nutrients is you get good side effects. The side effects are good if they're not bad. Now we're just going to talk about one last dietary intervention that parents who have children on the ESD spectrum have found to be very helpful, because these kids lack, the methylation process is dysfunctioning for them. So remember, the whole methylation process is involved with the liver being able to have, if you methylate properly, you can make glutathione properly. Glutathione is the detoxifying agent that they need for in their liver. And so it's along that whole wire these kids toxic. And if they're toxic, they're going to be so deficient in these incredibly nerve-calming nutrients. And, we're just gonna do a little bit of pyroluria. I will get to the B12 in a second. For many children, it's an important copper zinc ratio is out of balance. We talked about how high copper, low zinc is one of the causes of metal accumulation and aggression. White spots on the fingernails is a sign of a zinc deficiency and stress in the system. I had a mother of a teenage boy, and this is not uncommon for teenage boys. The mother of a teenage boy, which came out to see me, and we were doing lots of these different things, and she said, okay, he was having a good year. The next year I heard from her, and she said, he's having a terrible year again. He's just a terrible start to the year. Can I bring him out to see you again? He said, well, you can, but check his fingernails. And she checked, she said, oh my gosh, they're all back. I used to take pictures, photographs of kids' fingernails, how many white spots they had, and put it right in the file. I had his. She said, oh, the white spots are back. He said, so before you see me, I don't think you have to see me again. He said, why don't you just do the protocol you did last year, and this time don't drop the zinc in B6. And she did, and she called back in a little later, and she said, you're right, he's the way he was last year. This is what we found, particularly with boys, because zinc is a male mineral. Zinc increases the sperm count. Zinc helps with the prostate gland when men are having to get up to go to the bathroom all the time at night. Zinc is a very big help for that. Zinc is a male mineral, so we see it more in our little boys. Once they have a zinc deficiency, they're basically going to fight that all their life, which means that you need to keep them on some kind of zinc. At first, we're going to do separate vitamins, because separately we can see what's working. After a while, you can do it in a multivitamin. And most multivitamins have at least 15 milligrams of zinc in them, and so see, that'll hold them. So you keep them on a good multivitamin after we do one at a time. These kids are in a deep hole. We have to do one supplement at a time, one intervention at a time. We have to do it to much larger amounts than you would normally think, because they're not absorbing anything. Then we can get them out of the hole, and then we're going to keep it up using multivitamins, good diet, and then when they sink a little bit, you'll catch it right away with just a little intervention, and then they can go up. But it's one of the things they do need to continue taking. You'll notice white spots will come back. It's just something, unless we can get a good enzyme in there so they can start using it from their food. The Pfeiffer Treatment Center basically was a hallmark of this. Dr. Pfeiffer and Dr. Hoffer. By the way, there's a company named Kirkman Labs that makes a vitamin called Super Nuzera. It's a children's multivitamin, has large amounts of B6 and P5P, the active form of B6, in them. And in fact, they have been making that vitamin, and they have now made lots of them, but they have been making vitamins with high B6 for children, multivitamins, for probably 10, maybe more years, I've been aware of them. They first developed this vitamin for children with Down syndrome. Because Down syndrome has such low serotonin, B6 is one of the factors that is needed to synthesize serotonin. And so their Down syndrome children have been taking this vitamin to great, great success. So Kirkman Labs is just a wonderful leader in that. Now we're going to look at the other B that seems to make a tremendous difference with these children when done separately, and B12 therapy. Autistic children have, of course, tremendously decreased methylation abilities, so they have more oxidative stress, and thus they can't make the B12 as part of the whole methylation series. In fact, we're going to use methylcobalamin instead of cyanocobalamin or hydroxycobalamin, because the methylcobalamin focuses in on the methyl pathway that is deteriorated in these children. Speech changes occur rapidly at times. When I saw Brandon, the young man that we had the email about, he was getting B12 injections. And that's when he started getting his first words. But it was just words so far. It wasn't sentences. This is a nervous system regulator. This is interesting. In nursing homes, the nurses who work there will tell you that the doctors who have prescribed B12 injections once a week for their patients, they see their patients in the recreational room playing dominoes or cards or engaging. And those who don't get B12, not as much. But those patients who they have regular B12 injections will be very, very social. They're feeling better. Whereas B12 made is an intrinsic factor in the gut. If you don't have a good gut, you aren't going to be making B12. B12, why do they have to do injections? Because you can get B12 in vitamins. And it's a word on the label. And that's about all. You really can't absorb it well. But there are other ways you can absorb it. ADHD symptoms improve with B12, and of course it's anti-inflammatory and a mood regulator. So let's just look at what they're found to help assist with the nerve growth. We know that this is, again, a wonderful breakthrough that they have learned in treating these kids biochemically. They found that the methylcobalamin works better than cyanocobalamin, as our say our hydroxycobalamin, which is basically B12. Why? Again, enzymes. Hydroxycobalamin and cyanocobalamin required conversion to methylcobalamin. What converts? Enzymes. And so if they're not converting, you can't use it. This has been, again, something real big. You can take the sublinguals, they help, but there's almost no effective behavior for these kids. You can take a bottle. Injectable, good effect. But now they've made a nasal spray and a much better effect. And you will see their videos where they just show a nasal spray being given and the change in the child. Nasal spray is a real nice way to do that. We see almost instant results with the nasal spray. Clarity of thought, speech, auditory processing almost works like the secretin did in the old days, if that's going to be an answer for the child. So if we put all these things together that we've learned, we'll say, okay, how do I make this into a protocol that I can use for my child? How much of it do I want to use if my child has a little bit of a problem, medium problem, big issue? How far down the road do I have to go? And we're going to look at that, mother's protocols, how to follow that, and when do I need to engage a health professional to get some blood tests? When do I need to dig further for this? And so I don't have all the answers by any means, but I'm just going to give you my thoughts on this. Let's look at mother's protocols. What do mothers do on their own many times and just have good effect? Well, I would first start with an antifungal, as we talked about. Give a good acidophilus. We talked about three brands, didn't we? Primadophilus by Nature's Way is a good brand. Not chewable, liquid, or powder with the capsule opened up. An acidophilus with bifidus, it has other things in it. 3 times a day, 1 week. Continue that the next week. Add a grapefruit seed extract if they're over age 6, a tablet, 3 times a day. And we do that 3 times a day for how long? 3 months. Because we're aggressive with yeast, because yeast is aggressive with its behavior. So if you could just do that step and say, let me see what I see. With that step alone, you would make big changes. Now let's see if you want to go further down. Then he would say, okay, I need to change the diet. I'm going to reduce the sugar. Remember, we talked about juice. We talked about cereal. We talked about having pancakes and waffles. and muffins and all those kinds of things, you say, I'm going to rethink our diet. I'm going to make sure we have a good protein and fruit breakfast, and that our snacks are nice, good snacks like salted popcorn or salted nuts or fruit or vegetables or, you know, even soups, rather than giving them packaged things and lots of high sugar things. Remember, some parents only do that one change. They change their diet. Remember the dad who said, we've had no sugar, I have a different child? But if you do it with the antifungal, you get by with a little more sugar because we're supplementing with the guy who's going to balance that all out. So those are two steps that would be easy to take, and they would think, in my mind, would be the beginning. Then you might say, you know what, I'm going to help this child absorb more of the foods they're eating. And then possibly you say, I think I'm going to now, you're going down the road several weeks, I'm going to start adding some enzymes. If you add everything at once, you won't know what's working, will you? And your child could get rashes or diarrhea or stomach aches or those kinds of things. Speaking of stomach aches, by the way, if you start with acidophilus and you really have a yeast overgrowth, it's really a bigger issue than just a little bit, what you're going to notice is that you might get a stomach ache because you're getting die-off. The acidophilus is not giving you the stomach ache, but it's putting in the bacteria, and the yeast is dying off. It puts off, it's like a dandelion, a little poof just before he dies off, and then he goes away. So you can handle that one of two ways. You can either wait a few days or a week and it'll be gone, or you can, with a child, if they're whining the whole time, you're going to really want to take action, cut back. So give them half a capsule of acidophilus 3 times a day. So 3 times a day, that's so important, because it's 98.6 in there, it keeps dying. So you can do half. Or for a little while, say, okay, I'm just going to go down to 2 times a day, but eventually get to the 3, because you're planting a good bacteria, it's giving competition to the yeast, and it may get mad at you. We don't have to hurt the child while we're healing him. We can do it gradually, as long as you know the route that you're getting on. The best thing that can happen is that you get a die-off reaction. And you know you're on the right road, aren't you? So let's say the next thing you're going to look at, adding some enzymes, and we talked about the Protozyme. You do have to order that on the web. I'm sure eventually it will be in all the health food stores, but it's a more of a newer product, and so it takes them a while to get it around. And I think it was also called Zyme Prime, and you can just play with those, and we talked about how to give them. We had the whole protocol on how.